You're just going to have to follow along with me in your Bibles. I'm not going to have anything up on the screen today, unfortunately. But we are in 2 Peter this morning. That is our text. We'll be right in chapter 1, and we will be in verses 1 through 15. Wes, you can go ahead and start that recording. Okay. All right. So let's take a walk through 2 Peter chapter 1. It begins, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. And I want to pause right there because right here, I know it sounds like it's just a greeting, just an identifier of who the letter is from, but there's something very important here. Peter is identifying himself as a servant, or in some translations, a slave of Jesus Christ. He is saying, this is who I am. This is my identity. This is who I find myself to be, and I glory in this. I get to serve Jesus Christ. This is what I do. And for his readers and for us, the question is, how are we identifying ourselves this morning? How are we identifying ourselves throughout our daily life? Do we say we are servants of Jesus Christ? Do we identify ourselves with Christ? Do we place our identity in Christ? Because as I was talking about before, when trials come, when we need that rock, if we identify ourselves in anything else, in our marriage, in our money, in our job, in X, Y, or Z, you name it, none of those things last. None of those things are solid. They fade away. The only thing that lasts is Jesus Christ. And this is what Peter is claiming that he stands on, alone. And he continues, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. So he is writing to others who are believers in Christ, who are members of the faith, who, as he says, have received a faith as precious as ours. This faith that connects us to Christ. This faith that gives us everything we need. This true faith in Christ that says, I will look to him before all things. This is who Peter is writing to. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That is an amazing prayer for his receivers. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. But he's not just praying, hey, grace and peace be yours in abundance. He's saying it comes through a particular source, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. This is where grace and peace that we receive. This is where grace and peace that we can find comes from, and it's the only source. This is what Peter is claiming here. When we know God, when we seek the face of our Lord Jesus Christ, then we may have peace and grace, not just in small parts, but in abundance. We will have all that we need. This is his salutation to his readers. This is what Peter is saying. This is how we're going to start. This is where I'm going to base this letter. And now I have a purpose in writing this letter. Verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. My friends, this is what I stand on today, and this is what I exhort you to stand on in your entire life. Do you feel weak? Do you feel alone? Do you feel insufficient when it comes to dealing with the trials that life brings before you? Do you feel like sometimes you just can't manage it all, that you can't hold it all together? You know, I mentioned I am working another job now, and what I'm doing is I'm counseling people, and specifically I'm counseling people that are having trouble paying their mortgages. They're possibly facing foreclosure, and I'm talking with people on a daily basis that are, they're struggling, they're hurting, they're afraid, they're concerned that they're going to lose the only home they've ever known, and you know, they don't know where to turn. They don't know what their options are. And a number of these people that I talk to, they don't know Christ. And so they're looking for something, somebody to help them. You know, and they don't know what to do. They don't know how to deal with the turmoil that they've found themselves in. And so they're looking for someone just to say, hey, it'll be all right. You're going to survive. You're going to make it through this. But when we have Christ, we've been given everything we need to make it through trials like that. We've been given everything we need to succeed in this life. Not to say that we won't experience trials, not to say that we won't experience times of hurt and stress and pain. But when we have Christ, we will be able to walk confidently in the knowledge that He is our strength, He is our pillar, that He is supporting us, that no matter what we face, we will make it through it because we have Christ. We have been called by His glory and His goodness. So if you don't feel like you are measuring up, if you're sitting here this morning saying, you know, I'm a Christian, but I don't feel like I'm doing it well. I need to get better. I need to get into my Bible more. Yes, I'm with you. Be in Scripture. Do that. But understand that you have been given everything you need to be an amazing disciple of Christ, to be an amazing preacher of the Word, to be telling others about the God that you serve. You've been given it all. The point is not that we obey to become good or to be justified. The point is that we have been justified by Christ, and so we obey because we have been given everything that we need to do so. Verse 4 continues, through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So you might see in the outline that I gave to you, what these are some, really just some practical action steps that you can use to take this passage today and be applying it to your life. And this one is very, very practical. Through these things that we have been provided in verse 3, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them, you, who's hearing this right now, not just the people that read this from the first time that Paul wrote the letter, but you may participate in the divine nature. That means so that you may become more like Christ, so that you may become more like the divine and less like humanity, less like the corrupt in the world that are always seeking, I want. This is what I want. This is what I believe I need right now. And if I don't get it, it's going to cause me emotional turmoil, anxiety, stress, worry, whatever it might be. But this is what the world is driven by, is I want. The divine is driven by peace and grace and hope. And so the purpose here is to become more like God, to allow that peace and hope to pervade our life so that when those trials may come, we may be resting secure, knowing that we have on our side the great God, the great creator of all, and not be thrown about like a ship in a storm on the turmoil of our emotions. We don't have to worry about the temporal when we know Christ, because what we have been given, what we are promised, is eternal and will never fade. Verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. All of these things are characteristics of God that we can access, that we can have ourselves, that we can have growing in our lives. For this very reason, make every effort, not just try whenever you think you have a chance or some extra time, but make every effort, strive, work hard to see these things grow in your life, to add to your faith goodness. And this isn't just, I do some good things. This is often translated in other texts as virtue, integrity. Who you are when no one's looking is how we often say it when we talk about integrity. Add to your faith goodness. And then, as you can see, we build on top of each one. So add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge. Not just book knowledge, not just knowledge of whatever you want to learn, but specifically knowledge of God, knowledge of Christ. Come to know him more. And to knowledge, self-control. Other texts might say soberness, but keeping your impulses in check, because we have them. We are human. We are fallen. Now we are being regenerated, those of us who are in Christ. And through Christ, our impulses, our urges can be kept in check. Add to these things self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. So when things are difficult, even when you fail, are you going to give up or are you going to keep on? And not because you're just stubborn, but are you going to keep on because you know that you have strength in Christ to do it, that you are being backed up by something greater than yourself. You are being backed up by a God who can never fail, who will not fail you. So when things are difficult, are you going to persevere? Or are you going to throw your hands up and say, I'm done. I quit. I'm finished. No, add to these things perseverance and continue on, because your God cannot fail. And if you trust and hope in that, you yourself will not fail either. And to perseverance, godliness. So this is that becoming more and more like him. Identify more and more with him every day as you add these things to your faith. And then to godliness, mutual affection. And remember, Peter is writing to Christians, so he's saying, love one another. Care about one another. Be honest with one another. Open yourselves up to one another. Be together in Christian brotherhood. Because when we are experiencing suffering, when we are experiencing joy, we need to share these things together. When we are experiencing suffering, we need to share together so that we have others praying with us, so that we know we have our family, in Christ around us, supporting us, lifting us up in prayer, being there for us, interceding for us in our trials. And when we are experiencing joy, we need to share that too, because it builds up the body. It shows exactly where God is working, what he is doing, how he is moving, how he is blessing us. Every time we share our trials or our joys, we see the glory of God together. Because we can see how God is lifting us up in any situation. Add to these things mutual affection. And to mutual affection, love. Now, I know that, you know, in our general terminology today, love sounds like exactly what I was just talking about. But it goes beyond that. It's a love that doesn't judge. It's a love that doesn't really care how dirty or ugly or nasty a situation may be. It is going to be there till the end. It is the love that God shows. It is not a love that disregards sin, but it is a love that says, I will stand beside you, I will be there for you, regardless of the darkness, regardless of the hurt, regardless of how difficult it might be to stand next to you at this time, I am going to continue on. And not because I'm gaining anything from it, but because I care for you. Because I love you that much. Because God loves you that much. It is a love that sees with the eyes of God and not of man. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if these qualities are present in your life, you are being told you are going to be effective. You are going to be productive in your life, in showing others who Christ is, in growing in the knowledge of Christ, in coming to know him more deeply, and then in spreading the gospel, in telling others about who he is, in expanding the knowledge of Jesus Christ in your life and in the life of those around you. If these qualities are present, if you are allowing them to grow, this is the promise of the outcome. However, verse 9 says, but if any of you do not have them, you are nearsighted and blind, and you have forgotten that you have been cleansed from your past sins. This is a gut check moment, because oftentimes we can be blind to our own condition. This is why we need others around us to say, hey, you know, this is what I see, and this is what's going on. Do you see this? But if these qualities are not growing in your life, if this fruit is not appearing, then what Peter says is you're missing the point. You have been forgotten that you have been cleansed from your past sins. You have been forgotten that Jesus has made you new, that Jesus is regenerating you. You have forgotten your identity in Christ. If this fruit is not growing in your life, this is what Peter is saying. So, like I said, it is a gut check moment. Is this fruit growing? Are you seeking that it would grow in your life? Or not? Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. You will never stumble if you do these things that Peter has outlined. Your walk as a disciple of Christ, your walk as a Christian, as a little Christ, will be confident and strong and unfettered if you do these things. Because remember, you've been given everything you need. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is an amazing promise. This is what we are headed towards. You will receive a rich welcome into his kingdom. Welcome home, good and faithful servant. Welcome home to your reward, to your eternal rest, to your eternal life with me in my presence. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. Paul considered it good work, time well spent, to remind people that he knew these things. About these things, because it made sure that it was being reinforced, that they heard it, that they understood how important it was. He says they are firmly established in the truth you now have. You know them. But I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. As long as he draws breath, he is going to keep reminding them, because he knows that soon he won't be there to do it anymore. And if we don't hear it over and over, because I don't know why, our human condition, we easily forget, we easily lose focus, you know, we all sometimes have spiritual ADD. We need to hear these things so that we are reminded of what our focus is and should be. Quite simply, it should always be Jesus Christ. But for Peter, this was always going to be his aim and his goal. To whoever he spoke to, wrote to, whatever he did, he was going to be talking about Jesus Christ. He was going to be reinforcing these things. And this is why I have, as that last action point, preach the gospel to yourself each day. Peter was preaching the gospel to himself each day. Because as he reminded those that he was speaking to about these things, as he was preaching the gospel to them each day, he was doing it to himself as well. He was always being reminded of the goals and the focus that he needed to have. And that's why this is here for you. You have the gospel in your hands. Preach it to yourself each day. If you want to see that fruit grow, if you want to see these things grow in your life, preach the gospel to yourself each day. Be in the Word. Consume it. You know, we as Americans are excellent consumers. So let's go ahead and consume this first before anything else. My friends, these things sound easy, but they're not. But again, rest in the knowledge that you have been given everything you need to succeed in this spiritual life. For yourself to walk out this plan, Jesus Christ is sufficient. Turn your eyes upon him. Look at him always. Keep focused there. Denny, what do you always say? Focus up. Exactly. And I know we use it a lot, but it's true. Focus up. Focus on Christ. Because in him, all things are possible. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And you will succeed in this life. Do these things. And you will see that reward, my friends. This is what we hope for. This is what we are promised. Rejoice in Christ in all trials and all joys. And rely on him for everything that you need. And you will be amazed at what he does, at what he brings into your life and the opportunities he presents you with. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that we can claim that we are your children, that in Christ you have made us new, that you have regenerated us, that you have washed away the old sin, that you have cleansed us and made us pure. And God, thank you that in Christ we have everything we need to become more like you, to be adding all these characteristics that we've talked about today, that Peter wrote about in his letter, to our faith, the basis and the building block of everything else that we need in our spiritual life. God, thank you that you are sufficient, because we certainly are not. God, remind us daily as we dive into your word, as we preach the gospel to ourselves, that you are everything we need, that we can stand upon you, secure in the hope and the grace that you have provided. God, speak to our hearts. Show us how we can continue to grow in who you are and how we can continue to help grow the knowledge of Jesus Christ in this world, so that not only may we come to know him more richly and more deeply, but so that those that we speak with, those that we see on a daily basis, may come to know him and be a part of the kingdom and the reward that is present in Jesus Christ. God, may your glory be magnified, not only in this place, but outside these doors, in our community, in our county, in our state, in our world, all over the place. May you be known, because we seek to grow more deeply in our faith in you. Jesus, we pray all these things in your amazing name. Amen. All right. Before we get into our last song, I did say that I wanted to give you a short testimony about how I saw some of these things being walked out this week. You know, Wednesday night is when my dad went into the hospital, and Thursday I was actually sitting at work, and I took a call from an older lady. I don't know exactly how old she was, but she told me that she was actually taking care of her dad's house. She was trying to get everything in order because he was nearing the end of his life. He was a retired pastor, it sounded like he was fairly unresponsive. He was getting close, and she said she was always trying to talk to him, and she hoped that she was hearing her and remembered her as she was spending time with him. But I could tell she was greatly broken up over this, and of course it was hitting me right in the gut because of what was going on with my dad. And all she needed from us was just the number to her servicer, which I was able to get for her. But, I took some time because, she did tell me that her dad was a retired pastor. And I said, well, before I give you that number, can I go ahead and pray with you? Because, I work as a youth pastor in my own line of work, and I got to do that, and it really provided her some solace and some comfort, and it, I admit, it helped me too. I needed to have some time to pray myself right then. I did need to go take a break and wipe my eyes, but you know, even though I was in that time of hurt and just rawness, really, as far as my emotions went, I was able to step in into the gap for somebody and be there for them when they were going through something that was even greater than what I was going through, and to be there to lift them up and to intercede for them and to pray for them. And that, there was so much relief on the other end of that phone. You know, she was tearful, but I think she was comforted, and there was peace in that moment for her. You know, it's tough dealing with situations like that, especially when you're going through a rough situation on your own. But when you are relying on Christ, when you're standing strong in Him, everything else seems small. Everything else really is, as I said before, temporal. And you can show people Christ and let them see His glory and His comfort and His love in their life, even with something as small as just a quick prayer. So if you have a testimony of how you've seen Christ working, I would love to hear it from you, because, you know, this isn't something that we always get to do together. We don't always get to talk as one big family on Sunday morning. So if there's anything that's been going on, any way that you have seen God moving and working and showing up, please, and you'd be willing to share, of course, please raise your hand, and we'll have a little bit of time to share how God is being, well, God. All right, I'm going to hit Joe, and then I'll get you, okay? Well, I'm not going to hit Joe. I'm going to give him the mic.